Amen. He truly is worthy. Next time y'all do that, I got a little arranging I want to do with that song, okay? All right. Matthew chapter 3. I started to do it on the spot and put you all on the spot, but I didn't do that, for which you are very grateful, I know. In those days, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, I will make every attempt to preach the second half of last Sunday's message. Okay? In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." All the things that I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 40 are incorporated in that straightness. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. That wild honey might not be too bad, but I haven't brought myself to this locust yet. Although they say locust is kosher, okay? Don't know, not interested in finding out. "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Isaiah chapter 40. This is the prophecy of which I have just read was the fulfillment. In John, is this thing going and coming on me some? Is it in and out? Okay. Don't know what it is, don't know what to do about it, except just keep talking, okay? So I'll do that. And if I hear it go out, I'll talk louder and then it'll room come out. And anyway, if my hair starts spoking, let me know. Verse 3, Isaiah 40. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Here's how they're going to do it. "Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." I think you agree with me that we have been too long without a visitation from heaven. There is no viable alternative for our country than revival. But I wonder if we've come to the place in our country that in the minds of most people, revival is not an option. No matter how bad it gets, we do not consider returning to God a viable option. Now, I'm talking about in mass. I'm not talking about those of us here in this room. But I'm talking about the general public in this nation. However bad it gets, whatever the situation becomes morally, whatever the situation becomes financially, whatever the spiritual relationship is, however much the breakdown of the home, whatever happens physically in our country, we are, it seems, to the point, we've come to the point that no longer is turning to God a viable option. There's no consideration of that. Because if you say that, and even some people cringe whenever in a time of tragedy somebody says, we need to pray. Now, that's all they say, you know, pray. Pray. They don't say, to whom shall we pray? They don't say, what shall we pray about? They don't say any of those things. They just say, pray. Pray. I don't know, 9/11 caused some of that to happen for about 3 days, maybe a week. It made some difference. But honestly, turning to God is not a viable option in most people's minds. It's not even a consideration. The only thing that's a consideration is more money, more government control. We're going to take over this, take over this, take over this. Last week we talked about Jesus being outside the door of the church and inviting him in. Whenever we come to the passage here in Isaiah 40, it talks about make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then it describes making straight in the desert a highway for our God. We understand the barrenness of the desert. We understand the need of the desert if it's to be fruitful. Whenever the Lord predicted concerning his land, he said that it would blossom as a rose. And it would be a fruitful land. And it has become that, a very fruitful land. But I wonder in our lives, in our churches, what kind of fruit bearing do we have? How do we make this to where in the desert will be made a way, a highway for our God? The idea is this, as I talked about last week. Here, the king is coming. Make a way. Make everything just right. Get the rocks out of the road. Straighten the things out. Fill in the valleys. Lower down the hills. Take the crooked places out. Make everything just right so that the king will have a smooth, open, wonderful entrance to come among us. Now, if we are asking him to come in revival, and I know this goes beyond that. I know this has to do with the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But could we be part of that? Could we be part of the latter rain that will come as they had the early rains of refreshing from God in the early days of the church? Could we be part of the latter rain before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? If we're inviting him to come into our lives, now I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about to come with a visitation from on high that revives us in our spiritual lives. Could it be that we need to bring the valleys up and bring the mountains down, straighten out the crooked places and smooth out the road and get all the rocks out of the way, fill in the potholes and make everything smooth for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you say, it seems to me like God could do all that thing if he wanted to. Yeah, but there's some things we need to do. Whenever Jesus came to Bethany, and Lazarus been dead 4 days. And they go out to the tomb. Jesus didn't say, stone, roll away. He didn't call an angel to roll away the stone. He said to them, roll ye away the stone. Certainly, if he could say to Lazarus, come forth, certainly he could say to a stone, roll away. Of course he could. But he said, roll ye away the stone. If he could bring forth in the desert water out of a rock, couldn't he have spoken to the rock and water come forth? Sure, he could have done that. And he did that the second time for Moses to speak to the rock. But the first time he said, strike the rock. Now, I do not depreciate the omnipotence of our God when I say that God in his omniscience has assigned to us certain responsibilities. And we are not going to be able to sit back and say, well, God didn't do it. I promise you this, whenever we obey his divine commands in his word, he will do that which only he can do in your life. In my life, in this church, and in our community and in our nation. We're too much like this. We go out and run up debts and say, God, pay my bills. God says, I didn't make those bills. You made those bills. Oh, God, please, God's just not supplying my need. I've never seen, Psalmist said, the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. My God shall supply all your needs. Let's get to the valleys. Valleys to be exalted. Are you in a spiritual valley in your life? Now, I know there are mountaintop experiences and there are valley experiences. I know when the Lord Jesus Christ took with him Peter, James, and John and went up into a high mountain, I know at the bottom of that mountain there was a valley. And in that valley there were needs. And there are mountaintop experiences when we see the Lord revealed in his glory. And then there are valley experiences of meeting the needs of people. But that's not talking about that kind of hills and valleys here. It's talking about a valley of repressed or depressed spirituality. It's talking about a valley that is a low point in your spiritual life. I'm not talking about coming down to the level of people that have needs and meeting their needs in the valley. It's speaking here of your valley spiritually. Whenever you are walking through a valley that is not of God's choosing, but it is a valley of a lack of spiritual power. It's a lack of spiritual reality in your life. It's a lack of vitality in your life. And you're just simply in that depressed area of your life spiritually. Whenever we are there, it's often the things happen that the Word of God speaks of. The children of Israel coming out of Egypt went through these kinds of places all the time. And when they did, inevitably, they started murmuring about God. They started complaining about God and about the leadership that God had placed over them. They didn't like Moses. They didn't like Aaron, and they were complaining about him. Well, one of those times, God sent among them fiery serpents. They complained about it. They complained about the provisions. They complained about manna. Can you believe this? Here they are. They're in the desert. They do not plant seed. They do not plow. They do not water. They do not harvest. They do not do anything for their food except 6 days a week they go out and gather it up and take it home and they make meals of it. They prepare it and make meals for it. That's all they have to do. And what do? They complain about it. Do you know, God Himself cannot do enough for some people. No matter what, God takes care of me, provides them water. Their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. Most of us would not like that at all. We want to wear them out so we can get new ones. Have an excuse to get new ones. God took care of them in every way, delivered them from bondage. And then they were saying, Oh, that we were back in Egypt where we had leeks and garlic to eat. Yeah. And we didn't have to eat this manna that God provides for us. Oh, would we were back in Egypt. Would that we were back there under the whip of the Egyptians. Would that we were back there making bricks for Pharaoh's cities to build his buildings. Would that we were back there in slavery. My soul, do they not hear what they're saying? In that valley, they have come to a lack of appreciation of what God has done for them. How long has it been since you one-on-one before you and your God? I'm not talking about in here whenever we stand and sing, Thou art worthy and worthy of honor and worthy of praise. And sing, All hail the power of Jesus' name. And sing the songs of Zion and exalt the Lord. I'm not talking about in here. Now that's good and that's fine. I'm not complaining about that. That's good. But how long has it been since you one-on-one with the Lord just praised Him for His goodness and gave Him glory for what He's done? I promise you this. If the only thing the Lord ever did for you was save your soul and give you everlasting life, if He never met with you again, if you never had another friend, if you never had another bite to eat, if you never had another provision, if you had nothing else, and all He did for you was save your soul, give you everlasting life and a home in heaven. My soul, what more could you possibly want? If He never gave you one thing to smile about, if He never gave you one time of refreshment, here in this life, if it were all misery and heartache and sorrow all the way through, But he gave you eternal life and you spend eternity with him in heaven. What is this little space of time compared to eternity? Amen. We ought to praise him forever for that. Yes. But I thought this morning, we come together, not only saved, but we come together and hear beautiful music. Man, I thought as the instruments played, Be Thou My Vision. I wish you could have turned to it in your book. I think, did someone tell me the young people are working on that as a song? They're working on that? Youth choir. Youth choir is working on that as a song. Be Thou My Vision. Can I just come aside and say something? I'm glad to pastor a church where young people want to sing that kind of song. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We enjoy one another. Y'all look lovely. Really. Few exceptions. But, you know. And here we are. You can tell we're well fed. Well rested. Go out and walk around on the parking lot. What we ride around in. I mean, we ride around in a vehicle that keeps us cool in the summer and warm in the winter. If you live where you have winter. Comfortable, smooth roads. Now, if you're in the valley in your spiritual life, may I tell you, you're probably not going to pray your way out. You're not going to pray your way out of that valley. If you're going to exalt that valley, if you're going to exalt your spiritual position in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to get back to it, you know what you're going to do? You're going to praise your way out of that valley. Praise your way out of the valley. Oh, Lord, help me get out of the valley. Lord, help me get out of the valley. The Lord might say, I didn't put you in the valley. You got in that valley. Well, how did I get in the valley? You got in that valley by complaining and griping and grumbling and murmuring. You know what murmuring is, don't you? There's something to be done and you, looks like somebody else could do it. I don't know about it. That's murmuring. Murmuring. That's what your kids do when you tell them to take out the garbage. Clean your room. I'll do it later. Now, get in there now and do it. That's murmuring. Murmuring. I won't go to husbands and wives. I'll leave it at the kids, okay? If ye then be risen with Christ, risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Glorify God in all things. Give him praise. Give him glory. Thank God for the things. Count your many blessings. Count them up. Name them one by one. Name them two by two. Name them four by four. Count your many blessings. There are millions, millions more. We become so focused on the things in our life that are not just like we would like them to be, that it takes away our glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ and praising His name. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Who wrote that? That's a guy who's in prison for his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And at midnight, Paul and Silas in the jail were singing and praising God. What do you think? Do you think the earthquake would have come if Paul and Silas had been in the jail saying, you know, I just thought it would be different than this. I just thought whenever we followed the Lord that He would take care of us and that He would provide for us and that He would see to us that we had the good things of life. And, well, you know, I just don't understand this at all. I don't know whether it's worth it or not. You know, we've left all to follow the Lord and I just don't. I don't believe any earthquake would have come. When did the earthquake come? Whenever they, locked up for their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, began to sing and to praise God in the midst of the jail. God said, I like that. Woo! Shook a place. And shook Philippi. Exalt your valley. Praise your way out. Have a revival of praise. Just thank God. Mountains made low. What can I say about mountains made low? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I think God would come to us many times if we'd get the mountain of pride out of our lives. Now, you would disagree with me on this, and you would say, preacher, I'm not like that at all. That's not me. You're talking about somebody else. You're not talking about me. But we think God exists to serve us. Me first. Me first. We see it on the highways all the time. But we don't see it just on the highways. We see it everywhere. We see it in grocery stores, in Walmart. You can get run over by a shopping cart. I probably shouldn't tell this, but Aaron and I were moving mother's stuff out of the place where she's been and getting it out of there because she's not going to be able to go back to that place. And she's going to have more care and more intense care, and she's not going to be able to go back there. We were moving things out. And, of course, in those homes, you know, you have a code that you get out. And there you open the door. Well, it has a little time to close before it starts beep, 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 beep. And then it goes, yeah, 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 yeah. And so we were moving things and getting things out. Sometimes there are folks in there, they don't know the code, but they know the process. And sometimes they get close to the door. And whenever you open the door, they like kind of maybe get out on the porch a little ways, you know, and get out the door a little bit. So we were coming in, and we opened the door, and this lady was there, and she had her walker, and she was ready to go out whenever we came in. And we kind of blocked the door until, you know, the door closed. Once the door closed, everything was okay. And whenever the door closed... She didn't like that. She took her walker, ran it into Aaron. We think everything's about us. We think everything's about us. We're so focused on self. Can God not tear down a mountain? Sure, God can tear down a mountain. God can tear down your mountain. God can tear down my mountain. God can do that. There's not a one of us here. But what, by this evening, could be laying in bed paralyzed from the neck down. Not a one of us here that couldn't be that situation. Not a one of us here. But by this evening cannot be in a coma from which we're not going to recover. Just like that. Just like that. God can pull your mountain down. But he says, take the mountain out of the way. Take the mountain out of the way. Roll away the stone. Roll the stone away. Take the mountain down. Every valley be brought up. Every mountain and hill made low. Humble ye therefore yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. Now if God makes the exaltation, that's fine. But if we make the exaltation, that's another thing. Don't let pride impede his progress. Don't let sin, don't let unconcern, don't let selfishness impede the progress of God. Take those things out of the way. Don't say, well, if God wants this taken out of the way, he can just take it out of the way. No, he says, you take it out of the way. Roll ye away the stone. What can I say about crooked made straight? There's a lot of crookedness in this old land in which we live. Whenever I say that, almost every person here thinks of politics. Immediately, you think of politics. But it's not just in politics. There's some young people here. There's some young people here who have shoplifted. You've done it as an initiation to get into a club. You've done it to be accepted by certain other young people. Or you've done it just to see if you could get by with it. You need to straighten that crooked thing out. You say, well, it's gone. What's going on? Well, go back to the manager of that store. Tell him what you did. And pay for it. There are adults here who have taken back too much change whenever you were given change. You've taken back too much change and thought, well, ain't God good? Give us so many blessings. You need to make that crooked thing straight. You need to get that straightened out. Do I need to tell you that being straight is not bad? Straighten out the crooked areas. Straighten out those things, those fraudulent things. You may be like a new preacher went to town many, many years ago. Went to town, he was riding the bus. Whenever he got on the bus, he gave the driver the money, and the driver gave him back the change. And as he was walking back to his seat, he was looking at the change. It wasn't a very strong church, didn't pay him a whole lot. There were difficult days, and he looked at the change for a while, and he thought about it, and he walked back up to the front of the bus, and he said to the driver, "You gave me too much change." The driver put out his hand and took it. He said, "You're the new preacher in town, aren't you?" He said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "I know I gave you too much change. I wanted to see what you would do with it." He said, "I'll see you Sunday." I'm just saying, be honest. Don't be fraudulent. Take care of things that need to be taken care of. It irritates me. It irritates me, and I could tell you stories that you probably know the same stories with different characters. Kids. I'm talking about adult kids as well as young kids. I'm talking about mature kids physically stealing from their parents. I'm talking about grandkids going to a poor grandmother and getting grandmother to take a mortgage out on her home that's paid for, where she can live for the rest of her life, and talking their grandmother into getting a second mortgage on her home, and then taking that money from their grandmother and going out and spending it. That's crooked! Right. To take advantage of someone who loves you and to play and manipulate them under the guise of love is crooked. Some things have to be made straight. Paul, writing to Philippians, says that we let our light shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Interesting word, crooked. Scolio. Scolio, from which we get the word scoliosis, the curvature of the spine. The rough places. The rough places. The rough places, plain. You know what that means? The rough places, smooth. May I take it and apply it to us this way? Some of you need to smooth out some relationships. Now, you know, I kid about this sometimes with folks here in the church, you know. If you sit in this church over here and you have a problem with this church over here, you can just move over here to this church and start all over again, you know, and okay. But, you know, we ought to get those rough places straightened out. Children, young people, there may be some rough places in your life with your parents. You need to get that straightened out. You need to be what God tells you to be. You need to be obedient children. Not just obedient children. You need to be respectful children. You need to honor your parents. Honor your parents. Husbands, there may need some things to be straightened out with your wife. Maybe some edgy, rough places there. And wives with husbands. And children with parents. And parents with children. Sometimes we just have rough edges. You know, sometimes you see somebody coming, you just want to get out of the way because there's a rough edge coming through. You need to smooth that out. If our King's going to come to us and visit us with revival, let's make his way smooth. Let's not make him come through a lot of sharp areas and a lot of things protruding out, impeding his way to come through. You've walked through places like that. You've driven through places like that. The rough places, plain. Don't be abrasive. Some people feel that they've calling in life is to knock the rough edges off other people. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain brought down. Crooked things straightened out. Straightened out. Get the crooked things straightened out. Smooth it out. Make it smooth. In the desert, make straight a highway for our God. Let's stand together. If there's someone here today who has never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, hey, it is a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to know Jesus. I invite you to come today. Walking down that aisle, walking down there to the front, does that save you? Oh, no. No. But it gives us an opportunity to open the Bible with you and show you how to be saved. Now, we'd be glad to come back where you are. It might be a little awkward to come into where you are, and we'd be glad to do that. And it's much easier if you just come down here and let us sit down right here and pray with you and open the Bible with you and show you how to be saved. Isn't that reasonable? Isn't that reasonable? Certainly it is. There may be some here God's spoken to you about coming and uniting in fellowship with this church. Just straighten that out. Smooth that out. You know, exalt that place. Lower it down. Make straight pathway for the King. Make it like that. Make it like that. There may be some people here who just need to get some things. Listen to the term. Straightened out. And the things that need to be straightened out may not need to be straightened out here at the front. They may be straightened out right beside you. Maybe some people need to get some things straightened out with God. Now you can do that down at the front. Or you can do it right where you are. Valley lifted up, mountains brought down, crooked made straight. Smooth it out. Take the abrasiveness out of it. Take the rough spots out of it. King's coming. Amen. The King's coming. Wouldn't it be good if we'd clear it all out and say, all right, Lord, now come. Now come revive us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.